Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary. Hey.
It is now 10:12 here at WCCO. Welcome back. I love that song, by the way. Welcome, everyone. So you are listening to Geraldine. Yeah, me too, Devin. Devin Marshall is driving the whole show tonight. He's done a great job. And although we've had a few complications, you have been patient, and we appreciate that. Thank you for sticking and staying with WCCO. I'm calling this Steel Talking tonight, and I'm on tomorrow night as well from 7 to 11. Those are my usual hours on Sunday. But tonight, I am honored to be here with you on a Saturday night. This particular interview is all about how do you talk to your children while calming their fears about the coronavirus. Not about the march, the movement. It's about the coronavirus. We haven't heard as much as I thought we would have heard during this difficult time. It seemed like everyone's attention turned to this. I know that some are saying, oh my goodness, so many of the protesters were out there with their mask on and some with gloves on and some protecting their eyes even. But they were right up on each other, right behind each other, right in front of each other. There were police officers facing people right in their face. And so we don't know what that means when it comes to this brand new novel virus. This novel virus, it's not something to play with. Well, joining us to talk about this is Minneapolis-based counselor Jason Clopton, known as the Teen Whisperer. And he has some tips for parents tonight. Hey, Jason, welcome.
Hey, Geraldine. How are you? Thank you.
I'm doing well. Tell me how you came to be the Teen Whisperer.
So it's funny. I naturally have a gift that I can no longer just fight. God gave me a gift to connect with teens and youth, and I've embraced it. And some parents of some teenagers that I was working with kind of came together and were like, that dude is like the Teen Whisperer. So we're going to tell our friends and their friends and their friends. And so I just kind of adopted it that way. And I bet it stick. I was okay with it because I love the baby. So.
Yeah, well, Shaletta does too, as you know. And she's the one that's been telling everyone at CCO about you, about the Teen Whisperer and how you've been able to really connect children with other children, as well as children or teens with their parents. That's really key, because at this time in our lives, with these two major storms colliding and creating this whirlwind, you know, people have to stay in or need to shelter distance, you know, and that sort of thing during this coronavirus. And then at the same time, you're right up on each other and this protest. It's the perfect storm. So how are teens handling it? What are you hearing from their parents and what are you hearing from them?
You know what, Geraldine? I'm so proud of our teens. What I've seen and what I've been hearing is something that's so phenomenal and so amazing, and I want to show you it, right? I've seen masks, right, created in a new form, in a new fashion. I've seen our teens embrace social distancing, embrace the laws and the new kind of norm, right? I've seen them embrace it. I've seen children who have lost the opportunity to have the graduation that their parents and their brothers and sisters had, right? They didn't get to have that experience. I've seen parents that didn't get to have that graduation party for their children, right? I've seen that experience, and it hurt those people. It hurt those families. It hurt those children. But what I've seen is them embrace this new norm. I've seen these masks that are, I've seen people get creative with masks. I've seen people get creative with gloves. I've seen children just really embracing this experience. And this is what I will say, is that our children are resilient. Our families are resilient. This is a time to come together. And I think that the coronavirus, it's multiple ways and multiple perspectives to kind of look at this experience, right? We can look at it as it kind of created some distance, right? Social distancing. But we can also look at it as it created opportunities for us to come together as a family, as a community, to kind of see things in alignment, in the same perspective, and to really come together on how to keep each other safe. But I do have some concerns, so I hope we get to address those tonight.
Let's get right into it, because the concerns don't seem to keep changing. They just keep seeing, it seems as though they're growing. Is that true?
Yes, it is. It is. Especially, you know, I'm glad that you mentioned kind of the protests and the marches and things that are going on, right? Because now we have these groups of, we had a 10,000, the 10K march today, I believe, or yesterday at the U.S. Bank Stadium. And all these people are gathering in these spaces, and we're supposed to be social distancing 6 feet apart. And obviously, we can see that people aren't doing that. The governor even mentioned, you know, he expects this increase in coronavirus cases to spike. So that's a huge concern, especially if you're an African American, right? And you know that this virus is disproportionately affecting our community, right? So how do we have this discussion with our kids saying, hey, you know, I'm really concerned about you going out there to stand up for what I know you're passionate about. But this disease, this virus, this thing is out there still. And I'm concerned about you. I'm concerned about your safety. So how do we have that discussion? Well, you know, it's really important that we understand that the aftermath of coronavirus is just as important as what we're experiencing right now. The aftermath, especially if you're an African-American youth. We know that the virus disproportionately targets the African-American community, right? Mm-hmm. So if I'm an African-American youth, how do I feel interacting with someone who might be able, knowing I'm susceptible to get the virus, right? You know, it disproportionately targets me. Or am I worried about how people feel about interacting with me? So there's those concerns and those fears that I think we'll definitely need to address.
Okay, so then when you meet with the teens, how does that work? Do you set up a meeting with the parents? Do they have to vet you first? And then you interact with the children after they are clear on what they are, their expectations are?
Yeah, you know, a lot of parents tend to research and check me out, so I'm okay with that. And yes, I do try to incorporate family, especially when, you know, there's a minor involved. That's kind of how the system works, right? You have to kind of incorporate the family. But really, understanding that this isn't something that's singular. It's not something that we need to look at as an individual problem. Our parents are concerned about our children, but our children have concerns as well, right? And this is a family. This is something that's a community issue. So this isn't something, it's impacting us all, and it's doing it in multiple ways, and we all have different perspectives and different impacts. So it's ultimately important that we understand those things.
You know, the definition of family has changed significantly within my generation. I'm 62 years old, and I have to tell you, you know, I've traveled a lot of the world, and I have not seen enough. Yet I don't quite know how we define family today, but it is ever-changing, and it's beautiful. I love seeing how it's changing. Yet some of the teen problems are still some of the teen challenges that were in my generation as well. Maybe these are not to be changed. Has that been considered at all?
Generational trauma is real, And I also want to highlight that adverse childhood experiences are real ACEs, right? We've heard about this, the study and the research and the data that backs the ACEs inventory and tool as something that really explores those traumatic experiences that might impact a child's development, right? Or how a child shows up later on in life. So those experiences are real. That trauma is real. Generational trauma is real. So yes, right? Things are kind of different from when you and I were growing up. But now it's important that we understand how those experiences that you and I had when we were growing up and how they relate to today's child. We saw a lot of similarities from the civil rights movement back when Martin Luther King was alive, right, to today's movement. And now we've noticed that 50 states and 18 countries were impacted by this movement and this movement ended up being even larger than that movement. So it was part of history, and our children are going to be a part of history. But also this experience is going to be traumatizing. It's going to be something that's traumatizing for our children, and we have to understand that trauma. We're going to have to create space to unpack that trauma for our children, for them to unpack that trauma, right? For them to talk about that, how this impacted them, how this affected them. And that effect is direct and indirect. So we're going to definitely have to create that space.
Okay, so in creating that space, may I ask you then, are you working with teenagers everywhere? That's one. Are you working with all types of children, black, white, and otherwise? And then, of course, you just had the teen sit-in at the Capitol. The teens put that together. It's as though they have no fear at all to make their statement and make it known very clearly. They have no fear to go forward in a protest and fight with the adults. They have no fear of that. Address those two things for me.
Yes, I work with all teens. I work with all families. I work with all individual adults. I do not discriminate in that space. I'm so proud, and I mean so proud of our youth for standing up and what I like to say in my family, right, is doing their thing. They have been doing their thing. And I mean, they have really been showing up and making sure that their voices are heard. And that's what we've been fighting for quite a while, right? A seat at the table, to have a voice, to make sure that it's heard. And this is an experience that their parents have been through, their parents' parents have been through. And they're saying, enough is enough. Our voices will be heard and change needs to happen. And they're not afraid. They're fearless. I love that about our youth. They're fearless. And I love that. And that's what it's going to take. It's going to take courageous behaviors, courageous mindsets, courageous attitudes for us to really seek the change that we're expecting, right, from an experience like this. So I'm so proud of them. I am so happy that they showed up and showed out. And I hope that they continue to move and unite in the way that they are. It's been a global movement, and I'm so proud of them.
Yeah, I tell you, I think they're fearless. I really do. They don't seem to have any fear of going to the protest every day. And I talked to my niece who has been participating in some of this. And I tell you, she's so strong. She comes from a very strong family. And as I watch it unfold through her eyes and her heart and her hands and her mind being put forward to be used in this movement, it brings happy tears to my eyes. I've been crying a lot lately, and that brings happy tears to my eyes. What is the one thing that you haven't figured out or that you've had some challenges with teenagers about that you maybe felt like you needed to go deeper in yourself and with this gift that you have?
I try to make sure that our teenagers don't place too much guilt on themselves, and that they're working on and work more towards acceptance, right? I mean, the problems that we're experiencing now, Geraldine, are not new. We've been fighting for these types of injustices. We've been experiencing these types of injustices for far too many years, right? And our teens and our children of today are kind of just now experiencing that, right? So we have to let them know that, hey, you know, I know that it seems society blames a lot on you. No, you guys have power. You have power in numbers. You have power in over your thoughts, right? And your behaviors and how you show up. And I think that there's more power in their unity as a united front. So we have to kind of show them that, you know, these are things that we've been fighting for years. Do not blame yourselves. Do not have that guilty approach because, you know, media, social media, a lot of people try to blame the younger group for the behaviors that are happening out there and the looting and the rioting. And it's not all of them, right? There are a lot of peaceful protesters out there, and a lot of them are younger adults. A lot of them are teens and babies, and a lot of them are doing it peacefully. So we have to acknowledge that. So don't be guilty. But also, you know, remain resilient. Remain resilient. Remain strong. Stand strong. Understand that you have control over your behaviors and your thoughts, and continue to fight for justice because your voices are being heard.
It's so true. I don't know how you got into this work. I don't know. How long have you been doing this now?
Oh, my goodness. Probably about, I have more than 12 years of experience working with children. I've been in teaching positions in Minneapolis Public Schools. I've worked at numerous different mentorship programs all over the city. I've worked at Northside Achievement Zone, NAS, which is a wonderful nonprofit organization who works highly on the North Side for children and families, right? I've just been doing it for a while. I've been a coach. I've been a basketball coach for the Minnesota State High School League. I've just been doing it for a while. So I have more than about 12 years or more experience in working with teens and families.
Well, it sounds as though, you know, you walked into this gift reluctantly. But now that you've landed softly, I think that you found your place. What is next for you as you keep working with teenagers? What are you seeing for your future?
Well, I actually have some wonderful things in the works. I really want to get some free mental health services. Philadelphia had some things going on and started an organization called Black Men Heal. And I want that for Minnesota. I want that for Minnesota in terms of getting those free mental health services for our Black men, our teen boys, and also our families. I think we need to look at it holistically because Sandra Samuels, the president and CEO of Northside Achievement Zone, always said children and families don't come in pieces, right? So we can't serve them in pieces. So we have to take a holistic approach to this, right? So I really want to get free mental health services because the trauma in our community is going to be, you know, plentiful. And I want to make sure that we are tending to our babies and our families to make sure that they're mentally healthy.
That won't be easy, sir. It won't be easy, but I know that you are up to the task. And it has really been a pleasure speaking with you tonight. And I look forward to hearing more about how you are listening to the teens, how you are helping to move them forward. And I'm sure the parents are thrilled with their behavioral changes and that the children are starting to open up. I was able, growing up, I was able to open up to my parents, and I'm so grateful that I had parents that were willing to listen to me. Not everyone has that, but they have you, or at least they can. So thank you so much for joining us tonight, letting us know what you do and how important this work is. I look forward to getting an update from you in the near future.
Thank you for having me.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.